Chapter 9, Bridging Growth. Objectives. Upon completion of this chapter, you will be able to write the key verse from memory, explain what is meant by bridging growth of the church, provide a Bible reference explaining God's plan for bridging growth of the church, identify the key New Testament leader in bridging growth, summarize methods Paul used in extending the gospel to other cultures, key verse, Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Introduction. The last chapter concerned extension growth, which occurs when a church plants a new church in a similar culture. It should be considered together with this lesson, which concerns bridging growth. The same principles necessary for extension growth of the church are used in bridging growth and vice versa. This means everything discussed in the last chapter is applicable to bridging growth. But bridging growth also requires some special methods, and these are the subject of this chapter. Bridging growth. Bridging growth occurs when a church extends itself across national, linguistic, or ethnic gaps to plant a new church in a different culture. The term bridging is used because when this process occurs, a bridge is created from one culture to another to communicate the gospel. Modern means of transportation and communication have greatly advanced the potential of the church for bridging growth in even the most remote areas. Bridging growth in the New Testament. Bridging growth was part of the plan of the Lord Jesus for extending the gospel throughout the world. The disciples were to begin their witness in their own culture at Jerusalem and then expand to plant churches in other areas of similar culture. Next, the disciples were to bridge national, linguistic, and racial gaps to spread the gospel in cultures different from their own to places such as Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world, Acts 1:8. The disciples immediately fulfilled the command to multiply within their own culture, Acts 2. Extension to other regions of similar culture came as a result of persecution, Acts 8:14. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Philip first bridged the cultural gap in the revival in Samaria recorded in Acts 8. Peter and John continued the ministry in that area. The Apostle Peter had some difficulty in accepting the commission to work cross-culturally. He was a devout Jew and previously had limited contact with Gentiles, other non-Jewish nations. God spoke to Peter in a vision recorded in Acts 10, and then Peter took the gospel to the Gentiles in Caesarea. The bridging growth in the New Testament is best illustrated by the ministry of the Apostle Paul. God called Paul specifically to this ministry. Paul was Jewish, yet God told him he was, in Acts 9:15, a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Because Paul was called of God to cross-cultural ministry, his methods are important in understanding bridging growth of the church. Read the story of the conversion of Paul in Acts 9. The rest of the book of Acts is filled with a record of his missionary activity in the nations of the world. Many of the New Testament books are follow-up letters he wrote to the churches he planted in various regions. Romans to Hebrews. Methods of the Apostle Paul. Paul was chosen by God as a pattern or example. 1 Timothy 1:16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. This is why Paul's methods can serve as an example in bridging growth of the church. Here are some principles of bridging growth revealed in the ministry of Paul. Proper motives. Paul was motivated by the condition of Gentiles without Christ. Gentiles means all nations other than Israel. Ephesians 2:11-12. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles, at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He was motivated by a sense of obligation. Romans 1:14-15. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul was motivated by a desire to be obedient to the heavenly vision given by God. Acts 26:19. I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He was motivated by zeal and a burden for God. Acts 17:16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. He was motivated by pure love. 2 Corinthians 6:4-6. But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God by love unfeigned. Proper priorities. Paul had proper priorities. Things that were gained to him, education, material wealth, position, etc., he counted as loss in the spiritual realm. Only what benefited the cause of Christ was valued. Philippians 3:7-8. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Your priorities should always be your relationship to God, your relationship to the body of Christ, including your family, which is also part of that body, your ministry for God. Relationship comes before ministry for two reasons. You cannot minister when your relationship is not right with God. You cannot minister when your relationship is not right with others. Members of the body of Christ, including your own family, will not receive your ministry when your relationship with them is not right. The Word of God. The ministry of Paul was based on the Word of God. As the Word of God spread to other cultures, churches were planted. Acts 12:24. But the Word of God grew and multiplied. Acts 19:20. So mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. Acts 16:5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. The Gospel Message. The Gospel of the Kingdom of God. Paul's message. He did not substitute charitable missions in needy nations for the power of preaching the gospel. He did not use attention-getting schemes to draw crowds. People were attracted through the power of the gospel. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Prayer. Paul prayed for God's direction in spreading the gospel to other cultures. Acts 13:2-3. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the director of Paul's missionary activities. For example, on one occasion, in Acts 16:6, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Preaching, teaching, witnessing. Paul followed the instructions of the Great Commission to preach, teach, and bear witness to the gospel. Acts 20:7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. Acts 20:21-22. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. It is not enough to just communicate the gospel. The message must be delivered in a way that it is understood by the hearers. Vocabulary, language, and style of delivery must be adjusted in order to make the gospel understood. Paul recognized and practiced this. See Acts 21:37-40 and Acts 22:2. Acts 26:18 provides a formula for effective communication of the gospel to the people of other cultures. God sent Paul to the Gentiles, Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. The gospel must be presented in such a way that it opens the eyes of the people, that they may turn from spiritual darkness to light, that they may turn from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins through salvation, that they may receive a spiritual inheritance through sanctification by faith. The culture in which a person is raised determines five areas: his language, how he expresses and receives communications and ideas, his worldview, how he views and understands the world, his beliefs, religion, beliefs in supernatural, ways of thinking, thought processes, his values, moral, material, social values, motivation, ways of making decisions, his behavior, how he acts, behaves, socially and culturally acceptable behavior. Acts 26:18 addresses each of these. Opens their eyes. Language. Message effectively communicated is understood and received. Worldview. Biblical worldview communicated. Beliefs. Message of faith. Gospel of the kingdom changes their belief. Values change. That they may turn and receive. Behavior changes. The demonstration of power. Paul did not only communicate the gospel, he demonstrated it through the power of God. Romans 15:19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Planting churches. Paul did not just share the gospel and then leave new converts unattended. He formed a body of believers to which the new converts could be attached. He planted local churches. Evangelism without establishing a local body of believers is like bringing children into the world and then not claiming the responsibility for their care. Here is a cycle Paul followed in each city where he planted the gospel. Workers commissioned, Acts 13:1-4, Acts 15:39-40. Workers were trained and commissioned to reach a certain area. Believers in the home church helped prepare, send, support, and cooperate with those God set aside for the work. People contacted. Acts 13:14-16, Acts 14:1, Acts 16:13-15. In most areas, Paul made a courtesy contact with existing religious leaders in the synagogue. He attempted to gain the understanding and support of the local leaders as much as possible. Group and individual contacts followed, the objective being to get as wide a hearing as possible for the gospel message. Gospel communicated, Acts 13:17, Acts 16:31. The gospel was communicated by preaching, teaching, witnessing, and the demonstration of power. Different methods were used as needed in order to effectively communicate the gospel. The method in some cities was to teach in the synagogue, Acts 14:1. In others, receptive people were separated into special groups, Acts 19:9. Special ministry to individual people groups occurred in some areas, Acts 13:42, and language as well as methods were adjusted to assure proper communication of the gospel message, Acts 22:2. Hearers converted, Acts 13:48, Acts 16:14-15. The effective communication of the gospel resulted in conversion, with people accepting the message of salvation and repenting of sin. Believers congregated, Acts 13:43. Paul did not stop with evangelism and conversion. He congregated the believers into a local church. New believers were immediately introduced into the fellowship and discipline of the local church. Times and places were set for the assembling together of the new church body. Faith confirmed, Acts 14:21 and 22, Acts 15:41, as indicated by the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19 and 20, further teaching followed conversion. This teaching, within the context of the local church, established new converts as they learned basics of the Christian faith and how to live in the kingdom of God. The confirmation of the faith fostered spiritual maturity, helping believers discover their spiritual gifts and becoming functioning members of the body of Christ. Leaders consecrated, Acts 14:23. As believers matured, local leaders were raised up by God who were qualified for leadership in the church. Leaders, or elders, were selected from the local congregation, not imported from other churches or nations. Each church developed a biblical organization which was scriptural, functional, and effective. Church commended, Acts 14:23, Acts 16:40. When leaders were in place and functioning effectively, dependency on the church planters ceased. An orderly transition was made from the founder to the new local leaders. The church was commended or turned over to the Lord as a functioning local body of believers. Relationships continued, Acts 15:36, Acts 18:23. Relationships continued between the new fellowship and the church planter, Paul, and the mother church, Jerusalem. Relationships were also established between the new fellowship and other churches throughout the region to further the spread of the gospel. A worldwide vision. Paul had a definite world strategy. The Bible record reveals his concern for Asia, Galatia, Macedonia, Achaia, and Spain, which were whole provinces at that time. The locations where Paul established churches were centers of Roman administration, Greek civilization, Jewish influence, or commercial importance. Study these locations where Paul planted churches. Philippi, Acts 16. This was the leading city of Macedonia. Thessalonica, Acts 17, 1-10. This was a large, influential commercial city. Corinth, Acts 18, 1-11. A commercial metropolis of Greece. Ephesus, Acts 19, 1-10. Where the main highways of the Roman Empire stretch from Rome to the east. Strategic port and trading center. Paul knew he could reach a greater number of people in the crowded cities. He also realized that change usually starts in cities and then spreads to the rural areas. These great centers of trade and tourism also had people of many nations passing through for business or pleasure purposes. The cities were on the travel routes where the natural movement of people occurred. As these visitors were reached with the gospel, they would bear the message with them when they returned home. Paul moved in widening circles from these established mission bases. After Paul left Jerusalem, he turned his attention to Asia Minor, laboring first in Tarsus and Antioch, Acts 11:25 30, Acts 13:1-3, then West Asia Minor, with Ephesus as his center, Acts 19:1-20, Acts 16:8. From there, Paul moved west, with Rome as the center and Spain as the remotest part reached, Acts 19:21, Acts 23:11, Acts 28:14 31, Romans 1:9 15, Romans 15:24 and 28. Receptive fields. Paul's strategy in bridging growth was affected by the receptivity of people to the gospel. In Matthew 10, Jesus told his disciples not to go to Samaritans or Gentiles, but to Israel. The timing was right then for Israel. The other groups would be receptive to the gospel later. Even among the Jews, the disciples were to minister to the receptive. They were to stay and share where they received a good response and move on when they met unreceptive people. They were to concentrate their efforts on the areas of greatest receptivity. Paul also followed this strategy. When the Jews rejected the gospel, Paul turned to the Gentiles, Acts 13, 42-51. When Athens was not ready, Paul went to Corinth. In Corinth, Paul turned from the Jews to the Gentiles. The receptive Greeks rejoiced, and many believed and were baptized, Acts 18, 5-11. The Lord approved of Paul's actions through a vision, telling him to stay in Corinth and fearlessly proclaim Christ, Acts 18, 5-11. When the synagogue communities rejected him, Paul started congregations with those who were receptive. When persecution drove him out, he went to another city. His own people. Paul was concerned with reaching his own people with the gospel. Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Unreached peoples. Paul gave priority to areas where Christ had not yet preached. Romans 15:20-21. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. People groups. Paul worked with various people groups within a city or region. For example, he ministered both to the Greek and Jewish people groups in Antioch, Acts 13:42. A people group is a tribe, caste, or any group of like cultural, linguistic, and ethnic background. It is important to view a city or region in terms of such groups and plan bridging growth accordingly. For example, in one city in the United States, there are large populations of Spanish-speaking, English-speaking, and Mandarin Chinese-speaking peoples. Bridging growth to plant churches in this city should target these specific people groups. Planting a Tagalog speaking church in this city would not be beneficial. There are no Tagalog speaking groups in the city. This is why bridging growth to other cultures must always focus on the people groups within a certain area, not just the city in general. Planting churches within certain people groups advances the gospel most quickly. Members of a people group all speak the same language and have the same customs. There are no linguistic or cultural barriers to hinder the spread of the gospel. As you learned in a previous chapter, the gospel spreads most rapidly through existing lines of society. People who are related speak the same language and have the same customs. People who are like us can even be broken down into smaller units for purposes of the gospel. For example, you do this when you form Sunday school classes according to age groups. You extend this same concept when you plan to reach different people groups. Harvest Time International Institute offers a course entitled Environmental Analysis that assists in analyzing an area prior to ministry. We suggest you obtain this course to assist you in church planting. The course will assist you in such areas as identifying the people to be reached, what different people groups make up the city or region, who do you plan to reach, what is their religious, cultural, ethnic, and linguistic background, identifying their spiritual needs. For example, is a church needed among the Spanish-speaking people of a certain city? Perhaps their needs are being ministered to, but the French-speaking of that area are neglected spiritually. Determining receptivity to the gospel. Determining methods you will use to reach these people. How can they best be reached? Who should reach them? You must reach people in a way that is understood and culturally accepted. For example, if a certain group cannot read, literature evangelism would not be a profitable method to reach them. Willingness to adjust to other cultures. Paul was willing to adjust to people of differing cultures and all different levels of society. See 1 Corinthians 9, 16-23. A person is greatly affected by the culture in which they are raised. People in culture A will differ from those in culture B. When you leave your own culture to enter another with the gospel, you are different. You may not fit in, but you can adjust. Like Paul, with the help of the Lord, you can learn to fit in. The choice is yours. Will you change your cultural patterns for the sake of the gospel? Cultural differences. Paul was not only willing to adjust to other cultures himself, he did not let cultural differences affect the gospel. In Western nations, if a new convert should have to leave his own family because of conversion, he joins others like him in the church. They all speak the same language and have the same culture. But in other nations where Christianity means leaving one's clan to join another group, the gospel will spread slowly. Some cultures are more communal in nature than Western nations. Tribe, caste, clan, and group are very important. In New Testament times, when a man became a Christian, it did not mean he had to depart from Jewish customs. Neither did a Gentile have to adopt Jewish customs, such as circumcision. At first, there was a problem with the Jews wanting to impose cultural requirements on Gentiles who were converted, but Paul said such things were an unnecessary yoke. You can read the discussion and decision of the church council on this matter in Acts 15. Note, when we speak of culture, we are talking of ways of conduct that vary from group to group, which do not violate moral laws of God's word. Sinful practices are never acceptable. Timing. Paul adjusted the time spent in various cultures according to need. In some places, he stayed only a few days, Acts 21:4. Other places, he ministered for a long time, Acts 14:28. He was mobile, and his schedule was governed by the Holy Spirit. Mass communication. Paul communicated the gospel through mass communication. He took the opportunity to address large crowds, Acts 14:1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude of both the Jews and also of the Greeks believed. Discipleship. Paul preached to multitudes, but he also knew the value of investing his life in a few key men who would be able to teach others also. Timothy was one of these men, as was Titus and even John Mark, who had once been refused for discipleship training, Acts 15:36-40. It was Paul through which the Holy Spirit revealed God's plan for each believer to multiply spiritually, 2 Timothy 2:2. Working with other believers like Barnabas and Silas, as well as the disciples he trained, greatly multiplied the ministry of the Apostle Paul. On his second and third missionary journeys, Paul enlisted the help of co-workers who were native to the region where they had planned to work. This is a key principle. Africans can best reach Africans. Indians can best reach their own people. Asians can best penetrate their own continent with the gospel. They speak the language, understand the customs, and have already adjusted to the lifestyle. Independent churches. Paul planted independent churches. Although they were related to the mother church in terms of fellowship and leadership, they were not dependent upon the main church. Paul did not take support from mission churches. Neither is there any record of him providing support to the new works in other cultures. He raised up self-supporting churches able to carry on the work of the gospel without depending on outside financial support. All financial arrangements made for the continuing existence of a new church should be such that the people themselves can control their own business. If a church receives its support from another church, denominations or believers in another nation, then it is dependent upon them. If the sponsoring church or denomination fails, the new church will also fail. If relations between that nations are severed, the church will experience difficulties when support from the other country is cut off. The same Lord that turned water into wine and multiplied a few bread and fishes to feed the multitudes is certainly capable of raising funds necessary for the extension of the gospel. Authority to exercise spiritual gifts should be given to the new church at once, with leadership raised up from within the new congregation. When Paul selected elders, they were chosen from within the people, not imported from other regions. Titus 1:5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. Paul involved the new churches in all areas of outreach, including prayer, giving, and as co-workers in expanding, extending, and bridging growth of the church. See Acts 20:4, Ephesians 6:19, Philippians 1:5, and 7 Philippians 4:14-16. Each church Paul planted was a new center of spiritual multiplication. 1 Thessalonians 1:8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God toward is spread abroad. Paul founded new churches on the word of God and the rock, Christ Jesus. He did not found them on an organization or denomination or on his own personality. Creating dependence does not train for independence. A summary of church growth types. In the last few chapters, you have learned how the church multiplies through internal expansion, extension, and bridging growth.